To find out what's really going on behind the music, sometimes you have to dig deep. I'm Dr. Mike, and on the new season of Going There, we're doing just that.
Art or music can be your escape and your therapy.
Going There is the podcast at the crossroads of music and mental health, where we have raw, meaningful conversations with artists like Noah Kahn, Julian Baker, Jason Isbell, Youngblood, The Head and the Heart, and Bishop Briggs.
I recently heard someone describe grief as glitter, where you'll clean it up and then you'll find little pieces.
By opening ourselves up to these real discussions about mental health, we can foster understanding and gain even greater appreciation for the music we all love.
For me, like, my favorite songs give me happy tears.
So join me and some of your favorite artists on the new season of Going There with Dr. Mike, brought to you by Sound Mind Live and the Consequence Podcast Network. Subscribe wherever you listen to your podcasts.
Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. And sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/redcircle.
It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.
Consequence Podcast Network.
And welcome to another edition of Kyle Meredith With. It's the interview series presented by WFPK at WFPK.org, Consequence and the Consequence Podcast Network. Thanks for making your way here. For checking out the episode, hit that subscribe button if you're not already. You're going to get new interviews just like this one sent your way every single week at Spotify, Apple Podcasts, NPR, WFPK.org, Consequence, YouTube for the video versions, or anywhere you get your podcast from. You can subscribe to Kyle Meredith With, and please do give this series a rating and leave a review while you're at it. Of course, we've had some great guests drop by lately. We just look back on my interviews with Marty Stewart and the late Justin Townes Earl. Ian Astbury of The Cult was just here. Colin Hay, Bruce Coburn, Elvira herself, Cassandra Peterson. Olivia Allen Lind, you can see her in Wayward on Netflix. Jeff Tweedy of Wilco. Michael Chiklis, Rob Cordry, and Mary Stuart Masterson dropped by to talk about the movie The Senior. Hannah Stocking, Madison Pettis, and Yvonne Orji were here to discuss The Wrong Paris. Willem Dafoe, legendary actor, was joined by Corey Hawkins to tell us about The Man in My Basement. Just an example of what you get when you subscribe to the Kyle Meredith With podcast. That's me, Kyle Meredith. Today, my guests, Mary Chapin Carpenter and Eric Berry of Trampled by Turtles. Now, we recorded both of these at Bourbon and Beyond 2025. It was backstage at Bourbon and Beyond. Mary, to talk about her album, Personal History, that just came out this year, a record that she's been working on for nearly 5 years and one that truly earns that title, Personal History. In fact, she and I are going to dig into songs like Paint and Turpentine, Girl and Her Dog, and how the more personal her stories get, the more universal they become. And then later on, again, going to be talking with Trampled by Turtles' Eric Berry. Now, Trampled has a new record out with Alan Sparhawk of Low that we're going to be talking about as well. But let's start with Mary Chapin Carpenter. She came up in the late 80s. She was one of the few singer-songwriters who could sneak in that introspective folk into the country charts without really having to wear the cowboy hat and doing the whole horse and pony show. She broke through with State of the Heart in 1989. She had Shooting Straight in the Dark in 1990. Then she hit her stride with Come On, Come On in 92. That's the one that gave us He Thinks He'll Keep Her and I Feel Lucky. She's a 5-time Grammy winner. She's always walked that line between literary and plain spoken. She gets lumped in with Nashville, but she really writes more like a novelist than a quote-unquote hitmaker. And even by the 2000s, she was really steering clear of all the radio trends. She was releasing quietly devastating albums like Between Here and Gone and The Calling. She's one of my favorite singer-songwriters. So let's jump into this, recorded backstage at Bourbon and Beyond 2025 to talk about the record personal history, it's Kyle Meredith with Mary Chapin Carpenter.
Hi.
Mary Chapin Carpenter, how are you?
I'm well. How are you?
I'm doing well. I'm here. It's
so
been,
am I.
Yeah, it really has been a great festival so far.
And
we get some, luckily, some shade over here for the...
For sure.
Yeah. But you're here, you got just a beautiful new record with Personal History.
Thank you so much.
In fact, you've been busy because, two records actually this year, right?
You've done your homework. I appreciate that.
Yeah.
I put out a record with two incredible Scottish artists, Julie Fowlis and Corinne Polwart, in January.
Mm-hmm.
It was a one-off project of total labor of love called Looking for the Thread. And then put out Personal History at the beginning of June.
Yeah. And it is. What a beautiful record. I was thinking there's a bit of the old line that any artist, when they have a new record, they'll be like, this is my most personal record yet. But this is like, you called it Personal History, and I can't imagine you wrote a more personal record than what I'm listening to.
Well, you're right. It is the old saw of, putting out a record saying, it's the most personal yet, whatever. But you're absolutely right. At this point in my life, I can't deny that. I can't hide behind it either. It's very much a deeply personal and meaningful record to me. And I'm excited that it's out because I've been working on it for almost 5 years.
Wow, yeah. So can I ask them what kind of pushed you in the direction of this? Because, again, you were talking about some really, you're using that word a lot, but really personal moments. But it's like you get the little moments of a day from your coffee cup to the big moments of considering life.
Right, and also the things that, in my opinion, formative, foundational experiences that have brought me to where I am now. Like there's a song on there called Paint and Turpentine, which is about going to a legendary club outside of DC called the Birchmere, where I would go sit in the audience and listen to Guy Clark. And that was like a master class in songwriting, and I was in my early 20s, and it was just, it's like going to school.
Yeah.
It's just, there's a lot of experiences that I touch on in the record that, they're not so much chronological, but if you accept the idea that time is fluid, it sort of works that way.
Well, I did like, I mentioned Coffee Cup, and there's at least a pair of songs where it's mentioned right next. It's like, it's, Mary Chapin loves her coffee.
very well spotted.
What's the reaction that you've been getting from the song Girl and Her Dog?
Really overwhelming, actually.
I bet.
Yeah.
As soon as I heard it, I was like, oh, I'm sure.
lots of girls and their dogs, but lots of people of all stripes, all ages. Dogs are what makes life worth living in a lot of ways, in my opinion. So it's the title gives you a clue about what it's about, but hopefully it has a much wider lens that it addresses or connects to other things in life as well.
I think that's the great songs. I get to talk to a lot of artists about that because you make a decision. Am I going to write something that's so specific to my life, or am I going to write something that's maybe more universal?
Right.
And I've always found out that the more specific stuff I connect to more.
Well, the more personal, the more universal it is.
Right.
Because we all are so much the same. We all have so many of the same experiences. So it makes sense to me.
Yeah. Well, it's beautiful. And to have you back here in town, and I know it's a festival. I was hearing that Josh Kaufman was here yesterday from
Bonnie
Light Horse.
Yeah, they were here. I'm so sorry I missed seeing them. I love Josh so much. He produced my last two records, mm-hmm. the ones with Corinne and Julie and Personal History. Working with Josh is a dream.
Yeah.
And Bonnie Light Horseman, to me, is one of the coolest bands going right now. And Aeneas and oh my gosh, Eric, they're incredible. So and Cam and JT Bates.
Mm-hmm.
So what a band.
Yeah.
I'm sorry I missed them.
I'm sorry you missed them until they were hanging around here. You can't miss him. I mean, it's,
he's the only guy wearing a wool cap when it's 85 or 90.
That's absolutely true.
Yeah, that's
absolutely
true.
Well, we've loved playing Bitter Ender on FBK, too.
Thank you.
What a great single you had there.
Oh, my gosh.
So,
thanks so much.
Yeah,
you know, it's another personal experience that hopefully, because I don't want to feel alone in that, everybody can relate to.
Okay.
But also, if I can just say before we finish, it's really great to be in Louisville. Louisville. My mother was born in Louisville and lived here as a kid. And so whenever we come here, it feels like it feels very meaningful to me.
I love that. Well, welcome back.
Thank you.
It's so great to have you back.
Thank you.
I can't wait to see you out on the stage tonight.
Thanks.
Or today.
Yep.
And thank you so much for taking the time to talk to us.
All the best. Thanks.
Yeah, you too. And we'll be right back right after this.
You know that feeling when your day finally slows down and you just want to relax, unplug, and feel good? That's where Mood.com comes in. They're changing the game, delivering legal THC products right to your door, no shady dealers, and absolutely no medical card required, just good vibes and better sleep, shipped straight from their farm to your couch. From delicious THC gummies, smooth vape pens, to premium THC flower, Mood has it all. And everything's federally legal under the 2018 Farm Bill. Yeah, this isn't some loophole. It's the real deal. Head to Mood.com and use code FIRST20 for 20% off your first order. That's MOOD.com. Find your mood.
Welcome back. It's Kyle Meredith. Now, part two of this Bourbon and Beyond recap, I guess you would say. Earlier that day that I talked with Mary Chapin, I caught up with Eric Berry of Trampled by Turtles. Now, Trampled's got a new album called Alan Sparhawk with Trampled by Turtles. That's their collaboration with the frontman from Low. And Eric's going to recall the Duluth roots that connect them, the influence Low had on them in their early years, how their friendship led to an album and a handful of rare live shows. And of course, Trampled by Turtles, they did. They crawled out of Duluth, Minnesota in those early 2000s. They were a punk band that traded amps for mandolins, accidentally started a bluegrass riot, if you want to say, led by Dave Simonette. Of course, he's been on this series before. They built a rabid following on the jam circuit, mixing breakneck tempos with lyrics that sounded like they've been carved into a barn wall. Their 2010 album, Palomino, spent over a year on the bluegrass charts, and then Stars and Satellites in 2012 proved they could slow down without losing that charge. They're the rare acoustic band that can headline both a folk festival and a rock one, sometimes in the same weekend. And so we're going to get into this backstage from Bourbon and Beyond. It's Kyle Meredith with Eric Berry of Trampled by Turtles.
Good morning.
It's great to see you guys. We were just talking about you just rolled straight into the grounds here.
Yes, that's true.
Straight to the mic.
Yeah.
Festival life.
Yeah. This is the first thing I've seen at the full festival.
Yeah, well, welcome. It's great to have you guys back in Louisville, too. Of course, we're such great big fans of you guys and what you guys do. In fact, I wanted to really quickly, because you have a new album, mm-hmm. and it's with Alan Sparhawk.
Yes.
From Low. You're not exactly touring that record yet.
No, and it's... due to the how hard it is to get our schedules to align, we're gonna play some shows in support of it, but we're not gonna be able to go on a proper tour. Mm-hmm. We're like, we play a show and then the next night we play another one. That's not gonna be happening. But yeah, we're playing Hardly Strictly Bluegrass with Alan in a couple weeks. And we've got a show in St. Paul, Minnesota in December.
Yeah.
And
that
kind of
makes it special.
It does, because it is special and it doesn't get to happen too often.
Right. Right, so let's hear about that project then, because I mean, you're from the same area and everything, but mm-hmm. but it's not, when you put it on paper, like it doesn't automatically seem to make sense. But it sounds great what you all did. Like, how did it happen? How did it come about?
Well, it is because Alan and Lo are from Duluth, and when we were starting out in Duluth, and we all lived in Duluth, they were absolutely without question the band to look up to and to emulate. And to, you know, if you wanted to have some success and be a Duluth-based musician, the success that Low had was the success you were looking for. And what kind of goes with that is how they carried themselves when they went out into the musical world. So, you know, they don't really like the term slowcore, but they were, like, trying to make a point of playing as quiet and as slow as they could all throughout the 90s, which is kind of a punk rock
thing. It's very punk rock.
Thing,
yeah.
You know? And so that really did kind of imbue the Duluth scene in the early 2000s with that sort of punk rock attitude. Not so much what you sound like, so much as, like, we're doing this our way, which there's a big flavor of that in a whole bunch of Duluth bands of a certain generation, including ours. And we were very lucky to, like, one of our first tours out west in 2005, we saw that we were going to be in some communities that Low was playing on our nights off. So we just, like, you know, we never talked to them before, but like, hey, could you maybe guest list us so we have something to do on a night off? And he got us to play on stage.
Wow.
So some, like, very early on in our career, we got to do opening sets for Pedro the Lion and Low at venues like the Great American Music Hall in San Francisco. And I can think of seeing it, but I can't think of how to say it. Nuemos in Seattle.
We'll believe you.
Yeah.
Say it with confidence.
Yeah. Nuemos. I think I'm
That's
wrong.
That's it. That's it.
I'm wrong, though.
What do I know?
So we became friends, you know? And then so then 20 years down later, you know, when our friend loses his wife, you know, and we've lost our friend, you know, it's sort of an instinctual, natural response. Like, hey, man, do you need to come out? Do you need to... What would you like? How can we help? And so we brought Alan out on tour for a couple of tours in 2023 and 2024. And he played some of our songs and we played some of his. And it's, you know, he's awesome.
Yeah.
So it's a great, it's an easy musical fit just because we like to play together.
Yeah. What did you have to find common ground musically? I mean, again, you've got the history. So that does, I guess, a lot of the heavy lifting. Like, you know each other, but.
I mean, a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, a little bit, because I don't think he's very used to having lots of sounds happening in a given performance, because Lowe's always been so stripped down. Mm. So just the fact that, like, if all six of us are doing something, there's six things happening. I think that's different than his expectation. Of course, we're Lowe fans and Alan fans, so we're like, okay, don't overplay, you know, like, make sure you get out of his way, that right. sort of stuff. So I mean, yeah, trying to find some musical common ground, but it was a lot easier than you might think.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the record is fantastic. I mean, it's so good what you guys do, and again, just to know that there's only gonna be a few shows, you
yeah.
know, something like that. I mean I'm thinking of any of those, like, sort of sidestep supergroups like Temple of the Dog or something, where there was a record and the shows, like, there was one show or something like that.
Yeah.
It became mythical, you know, you know, or something that you get to do that. But we have you at a festival.
Yep.
You know, here. And how is, like, I'm guessing you're not going to even crutch too much on songs like that for a show
no.
like this.
We have a 30-minute slot today.
Yeah.
So it's like, yeah, we just saw our set list, and it's, if I might say so, it's a heavy hitting thing, because it's only, you know, six songs long.
Wow.
Yeah.
Just the good songs.
Yep. Just some of the good songs.
Just some of the good songs. I'm so looking forward to it. I can't wait to see you guys out there. And again, we love what you guys do. Every time you come here to Louisville, we love having you in here. And the new record. Congrats on that one. Is there some, I mean, is there something else lined up that you guys, or is this what you're looking at right now?
It's pretty much what we're looking at right
okay.
now.
All right.
Yep.
All right. Well.
Yeah, it's been a busy summer, and so we're kind of winding it up. And
you ready for the break?
Yeah, looking forward to some downtime and cocooning up for the winter.
Right on, man. Well, thank you so much for dropping by the tent.
Thank you so. Thank
yeah.
you.
Yeah. And we'll be right back right after this. Welcome back. It's Kyle Meredith. I mentioned earlier that Dave Simonette of Trampled by Turtles has been on the series, and then I realized we recorded that interview before we started this official series of the Kyle Meredith With podcast. So I'm actually going to include that here, a little bonus. This was not recorded at Bourbon and Beyond. In fact, this was recorded back in 2017. Dave was actually taking a little break from Trampled to do his rock project, Dead Man Winter. And we got to talk about the album they released that year called Furnace and the personal turmoil that led to that LP. So I'm going to include that here, a little bonus interview. It's Kyle Meredith with Dave Simonette of Dead Man Winter and Trampled by Turtles.
Hi, Kyle.
We're very excited to have you coming back to town. April 23rd at Headliners, I see.
Yeah, very excited to get back to Louisville, man. I love that city.
Yeah, well, we've loved you all here. And have you played as Dead Man Winter before? Have you played in this band, or has it always been with Trampled?
Always been with Trampled there. Yeah, I mean, this band hasn't done much of it. We leave for tour tomorrow, but up until now, we've done a show in Chicago, a couple shows in Colorado, and then like a week in Alaska, and that's been an extent of our touring.
That's it.
Yeah.
So I mean, what's it been like getting ready for this tour? I mean, I got to imagine it's completely different for you.
Yeah, I mean the whole operation, you know, it's different than Trample, that's for sure. I mean, it's going back into the van, you know, which I'm kind of excited about actually. But I'm
the only one who says that.
Well, yeah, you know, I mean, there's something about it. I mean, you know, ask me a week and a half into it when we're on a 14-hour drive day or something like that. There's some, you know, Trample has just become, and, you know, to its credit and to the credit of the people that have set it up this way, it's become this really, really well-oiled machine as far as touring goes. Mm-hmm. So I don't have to think about anything. I just, you know, they just tell me when to show up at the airport, pretty much. But this is it's a whole another story. And so there's, you know, I'm such a procrastinator. I'm packing currently like a frantic madman right now. So we'll see how it goes. But I'm excited for it. I get to see the country through the window again, you know?
That's cool. Well, we are excited to have you down here. And behind this really great new record, I mean, Furnace, I'm going to give you all the compliments, too. It's great. It is different. It's obviously different than Trampled. Although I found like little similarities when I look back. Like now that I listen to a song like Alone, it sort of seems like that was almost a direction shift for you that, you know, eventually down the line leads to this record or something like that. But
it's pretty linear, you know?
Yeah. I mean, is it a conscious thing that you have to sound different from that? I mean, obviously there are no banjos at stake here, but did you make a point of doing that?
I did not. No, I mean, it's in the end, it's just going to sound like me, I guess. You know what I mean? And then the musical difference mainly just comes from the people that surrounded me in the studio, I guess. You know, I mean, like I've always felt that I could take any song and probably bring it to either band, and either band could make a song out of it. Because I mean, I'm pretty simplistic musically. So just the difference is the other people.
One thing I heard that you pulled off quite nicely, much in the way of like a great record from the Smiths, you found out how to sing about despair and masking it with really bright riffs.
I mean, there was a little bit of intent there, but honestly, it was more like that's just how it worked out. I mean, I won't give myself credit to have had any great vision there, but I'm happy the way it did. I mean, I brought the songs. And it had chord changes, you know, and then the vibe just kind of came out of the sessions, really.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that's kind of interesting because, you know, and sure, this is the part of the interview that you probably have to do a lot. But given the backstory of why this record exists, you know, you went through a lot of personal turmoil and you retreat out to the middle of nowhere. And just with that in mind, you know, I would expect that you would just really have a complete dark record that comes out of that. And that's not the case.
Well, I don't know, man. It's so much more complicated, I guess, than, you know, there's not one. I mean, right, I went through a lot of personal turmoil, but there's still beauty happening. And there's still, you know, the recordings for this record were made with some of my best friends in a beautiful spot, you know. So it's there's all sorts of factors that go into that. You know, I have two kids that really keep me above water quite a bit. So there's also a lot to celebrate there.
And as for all the things that you were going through, I mean, you know, I always hate to say it, but it does make for great art.
Right.
I mean, that's what we ask our artists for as fans. We ask you to bleed so that we can drink your blood. I don't know.
it does create subject matter. I agree with that. And, you know, I always get a little bit cautious when romanticizing like the depressed songwriter stereotype, I guess you might call it, because, you know, from my personal experience, when I'm in the worst parts of that, I'm worthless, man. I don't create anything. I don't write. I don't, you know, I can't even get out of bed, let alone make a song. So for me, depression and even just hard times, I guess, can be really creatively detrimental. But, you know, in the big picture, I guess that's where a lot of material ends up coming from as well. So it's kind of a trade-off there.
As for a song specific, especially that closer with You're Out of Control, I mean, what a great spacey jam that happened there. Is that just a product of the studio?
Yeah, that was, you know, the first song, This House is on Fire, and the last song, You're Out of Control, both of those were the first time we'd ever played those songs together, which I don't know how, if that had something to do with them ended up bookending the record, but I just had this little part of a song, and then all I knew was that I wanted it to go on for a while and get kind of chaotic. And that was all the direction I gave. And that was it. And then we did that and we were done. I mean, it's all live. Uh-huh. And we were done and kind of didn't feel the need to do it again. But that's the same thing that happened with This House on Fire, too. I showed them the song, you know, kind of played through it in the control room, went out and tracked it. And they're like, oh, cool. And I love to be able to work in that way where I think a lot of times in the studio, people don't allow themselves to keep a first take. You know what I mean? It seems like it shouldn't be the one to keep, but I love that spontaneity and just kind of rawness that can come from that like the first times, you know, these guys are all really good musicians. So as long as nobody really screws it up, there can be some magic stuff that might not ever happen again.
I mean, I hear a lot of artists talk about how they wish they could, you know, adapt their live show into the record once they're in the studio. And it seems like what you've done there is about as close as you can get without having the audience in front of you.
Yeah, that's a constant search for a lot of people. I mean, there are almost two different occupations, I guess, playing live and recording. You know, the atmosphere is so different, and that plays such a huge part in how you play.
Well, all the results are great, man. Congratulations on Furnace, and again, we're excited to see you April 23rd at Headliners for what's become a very warm winter for Dead Man Winter.
Yes, yeah. Weird up there right now. 50 degrees in Minneapolis today.
So, all right, Dave. Well, thanks so much. It was great talking to you.
Yeah, take care.
Dave Simonette of Dead Man Winter and Trampled by Turtles there, a little bonus interview. But thanks to Dave, thanks to Eric, thanks to Mary Chapin, and of course, thanks to you for checking out the episode. Do hit that subscribe button if you haven't done so yet. You're going to get new interviews just like this one every single week. Spotify, Apple Podcast, NPR, WFPK.org, Consequence, YouTube for the video versions, or anywhere you get your podcasts, you can subscribe to Kyle Meredith With. And please do give the series a rating and leave a review while you're at it. After that, you can head over to WFPK.org, where I do a show Monday through Friday starting 6 p.m. Eastern. You get 4 hours of classics from the 80s and 90s. You get the best in new music. There are bonus interviews, lots of music news as well. In fact, one of my recent shows featured some classics and favorites from Elton John, Southern Culture on the Skids, Jimmy Cliff, Wolf Alice, The Waterboys, Tori Amos, Sarah McLachlan, The Pixies, Love Battery, Lord Huron, The Head and the Heart, Low Cut Connie, Jason Isbell, Bahamas, Jackson C. Frank, Ramones, Jesse Wells, and my interviews with Kevin Cronin of REO Speedwagon, Tommy Stinson of The Replacements, and Lindsey Buckingham from Fleetwood Mac. That's what you get when you tune in weeknights, starting 6 p.m. Eastern at WFPK.org. Consequence has your music and film news. You can also find me on any of the social media sites. The address is always at Kyle Meredith. I do hope you like and follow along. And that does it for another edition. I'm Kyle Meredith. I'll see you next time.
Consequence Podcast Network.
It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.